Welcome. To Arcade Audio.
Welcome to this week's episode of Married with Movies. I'm one of your hosts, Samantha Mullet. Sitting next to me on the couch is your other husband, beautiful husband, Chris Mullet.
That's what they call in South Texas football country is two a day. And two podcasts.
What?
Back to back. Two a days when they have two practices, a morning and a nighttime, while they're doing these back to back, so it's not a direct. Look, I don't talk this long anymore. So it's hard for me to now...
That's such bullshit.
I know. I let you speak more than usual.
Chris, I think we've already talked about it on this show and all the other mediums. There is one person who loves the sound of your voice more than any other sound in the world.
Jillian.
That person is you.
No, Jillian loves.
Okay.
Guaranteed.
Okay. There are two people who love the sound of your voice.
I would be number two, yes.
Yeah.
I don't like the sound of my voice. The content that comes out of it.
You love everything about yourself, Chris.
Nah, that's a bold-faced lie. If I loved everything about myself, I would be 60 pounds lighter. And that's about it. with better hair.
Uh-huh.
My butthole would be different.
Chris, everybody wishes your butthole was different than you. All right, come on. There's not a person you've met
that... My popcorn bucket doesn't. I don't even know what that means.
That's...
They kiss each other. If you're new here... that's the first time...
So you don't stick your dick
here,
in it.
You haven't missed anything.
So you don't stick your dick in it.
No, I've been trying
you
to...
You stick your it no, up your butt.
My butthole and the popcorn bucket have been trying to kiss each other for a week. But it's got that damn worm part on the top.
I fucking hate your guts.
Leave it to me to make it grosser. It's still March 3rd.
And you're still...
And I'm still the grossest, weirdest person alive. Surrounding all those things is a podcast where we talk about the movies we watch and the life that we live. And we're still catching up from... The sickness that we had and just the crazy year we've had. So this is my hope, my declaration. We will not miss another week of this podcast before the end of the year.
Please don't put that out there because you know I'm going to fuck that up.
we're recording this a week out in advance. Happy Oscar Day to everybody because that's when this is airing. If you're hearing this like first thing in the morning, make sure you go to arcadeaudio.net/themullets and get your last minute votes in. For the podcast, for the podcast next week, where we unveil our winners of the Mullet Awards, and we'll be recording that probably the day after the Oscars next week. So that way, that episode's done, and then we have plenty of time to talk about Jackass. So that episode airs when we're on our cruise because we have a cruise coming up. We'll be out of the country.
I cannot.
And if I hit it big on the casino, we might never. That might be the last episode.
Exactly. So don't make promises.
Last week I teased. Some other movies I needed to talk about that I watched while I was under the weather, and I'll talk about those two movies now. I think we got worse from the past lives I watched first, and then I watched The Color Purple, and then the next day, not the direct next day, but the next day I was able to watch movies. It was basically focused on our... other fantasy movie league that we have because we are very much there's like a really tight race between like first place through fourth place, and first place is going to be whatever has Oppenheimer, which is not us in that league. So I'm trying to watch all the other movies to get
absolutely,
our bonus points
yeah.
for it. So I watched All of Us Strangers, which was an indie film that was highly regarded, that was a award hopeful, and I believe it did get some Indie Spirit nominations. But nothing at the Academy. It was finally on Hulu, so I watched it with Andrew Scott and Paul Mescal. It kind of another LGBT.
QIA.
Thank you. I know that. It's Q&A, but an I instead of an and. Got it.
QIA plus, yeah.
Yeah, I knew the plus part. I didn't say. Mm-hmm. Film about, pretty simple, but also complicated at the same time. A lonely man and, you know, his new partner trying to kind of come to grips with his sexuality and his family. Without saying anything else and spoiling it, because that's not what we do with these movies that are still kind of new to people. I just couldn't get into it. I tried. And it just, I think the two main performances were pretty good. But I think the story left a lot to be desired. And I think it was confusing and complicated to an extreme fault for my overall enjoyment of the movie. I think it had a decent message behind it, but just this one didn't work for me. It didn't work for me at all. Sad to say. I think Paul Mescal is absolutely fantastic, though, and I get the hype behind him and everything that he's done, and I'm excited now for Gladiator 2, because I believe he is the star of Gladiator 2 coming out later this year.
Oh, that's good.
He was dope, but, yeah. And then, because I'm a competitive asshole, it took me somewhere around 6.5 hours to completion on Netflix, the musical Journey to Bethlehem, which we had to pick up in this other movie league because we had the Pixar film Elio. Which got pushed out of season. And this league is still 8 teams with still 8 movies, and there were not 64 good movies to exist. So we kept seeing trailers when we were taking Jillian to movies for this Journey to Bethlehem of like, oh, it's going to be coming out around the holidays and it's a musical. I think it was advertising one of the people that worked on La La Land, probably was a fucking set designer or something, was involved with it. And this is coming off of Sound of Freedom. And I was like, look, these movies are going to do, I see all these Bible thumping movies do good business.
They do great business.
And this one's got Antonio Banderas in it. You know, we'll pick this up. And it, fuck, I think it made like $4 million. And it got decent reviews. So I'm like, oh, okay. I'll watch this. We'll get 10 points off of it and it'll be fine. It was fucking torture. It was absolute torture. Because I didn't know, like, I thought this was maybe based off of something that like already existed. Like, musical-wise, obviously I know it's based on the fucking Bible. It's based on the story of Mary giving birth to fucking Jesus. But,
what?
Immaculately! spoiler alert! Swerve! That's a swerve. But no, it's an original musical. But they kind of gave the music, like, today pop sensibilities. And
what?
There are two things that I don't get into nowadays, or really in general. It's modern pop music and religion. So those two mixed together, it took me 6.5 hours to watch this movie. Anytime I had a moment to like stop and pause it, I was like, all right, well, I'm going to stop this for a little bit and go make my lunch. Or I'm going to go stop and go take a shit and watch another video. It was bad. Just not good. They also tried to be like too funny. Like there's like a lot of humor in it. And I'm like, are the three wise men supposed to be like Larry, Curly, and Moe? Because that's kind of what, without the slapstick, they'd be like verbal slapstick. I don't recommend Journey to Bethlehem. Unless you want to rent out entire movie theaters over the next month to do it. So we get the benefits of it from the box office.
Yeah, then go league. For it.
Yeah, if you want to throw a few $100 million at Journey to Bethlehem randomly, go for it. These worst causes. Have you watched anything recently? You've been, you know?
No.
No? Okay. Just checking.
Nope.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's get to today's movie. This was my movie that I nominated. Because thus far this year, up to this moment, we have watched two movies that had a composite score of an 8.25, two movies with a composite score of 9.5, and a movie that was given a perfect 10 by both of us. And at the end of this year, we have negative categories for movies, and we need to round out some of those categories with movies. And it was about time that you finally had to experience this for yourself. And for myself, the first time I'd ever watched it from beginning to end without the Mystery Science Theater riffing over it, we watched Mac and Me. Samantha, will you go ahead and read the package for Mac and Me?
I don't want to.
You have to.
Mac and Me. Out of this world and into your heart.
Sounds like a threat.
Yeah.
Going into your heart.
Intergalactic fun for the whole family. I almost did intergalactic
fun for the...
Yeah. Greetings, Earthlings. Oh, this is bad.
They didn't even exclamation point that. That's just a statement. Greetings, Earthlings. Hmm.
A pint-sized extraterrestrial has just landed on our planet by accident, and he's feeling a little alienated. Eh?
That's the best part of the movie.
Because he got separated from his family upon arrival. Fortunately, the hilarious intergalactic antics of this mysterious alien creature, Mac, will help him charm his way into the heart of everyone he meets, including Ronald McDonald in a rare cameo.
Wasn't Willard Scott by... Whatever, go on.
As far... This is also a very long back of the box.
This DVD, I remember specifically, I bought at a gas station. Because I was like, oh, Mac and Me, okay.
As far as best friends go, Mac makes a pretty good one. They fucked that. That should have been... Pretty nice one. He has a gentle disposition and a terrific sense of humor. But for new kid in town, Eric Cruz, I never knew that his last name. The problem is that no one will believe that his fun new friend even exists. Everyone thinks it's all science fiction until Mac comes out of hiding and takes Eric, his family, his neighborhood, and his world on a fantastical journey that will transform their lives forever.
Wonderful job. So this movie is notorious for many different reasons. One, because it's a pile of shit.
I had never heard of this movie before.
Yeah.
I had met you.
Yes, you're
because
welcome.
I watched E.T. instead.
As most people did.
Yeah.
Number two, this is the most blatant ripoff of E.T.
Oh, yeah.
Right down to the mnemonic title. Number three, it is one of the most egregious examples of product placement in a movie ever.
What do you mean?
From not just McDonald's, which is the more egregious one because there's a literal dance party in the middle of it. With
no,
said
no, not
Ronald
in
McDonald's.
Not in the middle of McDonald's. It was in the parking lot.
No, it's in the middle. That dance, sorry, hold on. That dance happened everywhere. In the middle, around, out back, and also in the middle of the movie of McDonald's, that dance party. But also Coca-Cola. And then, of course, the final one would be, and probably the one that most people know of, excuse me, is the fact that Paul Rudd, over the course of 20 years, would go on the Conan O'Brien late night show, and instead of playing a clip for the movie he was advertising, would play the same clip of Eric, our wheelchaired star of the movie, falling off a cliff into a lake and being seen by this random alien creature every time he went on Conan's show.
Every time.
Which, if you just go watch that supercut on YouTube, it's like 17, 20 minutes, you're doing this movie right then. Or if you just go to Netflix and pull up the first episode of the Mystery Science Theater reboot Gauntlet, I think it came out in 2021. It is the first episode. I think it's probably, besides the first movie, This Island Earth, like the most famous movie they've ever like done, like officially Mystery Science Theater.
Yeah, I think
like this,
so.
Like this was like this got multiple Razzie nominations. This was a movie that came out in theaters and they had expectations for, as evidenced by the fact that the movie fucking has the balls at the end of it to end with a "We'll be back" warning, and it doesn't happen. So this being the first time I'd ever seen this movie without it being made fun of immediately for, Watching it without that, it is fucking torture. This movie is so shitty immediately.
Like, but you know what made it way better?
What?
You know what made it way better?
What?
Watching this movie with our beloved daughter.
Who she loves everything. So like,
she loves everything, because we knew she was gonna love it.
She didn't necessarily love it. Like
she thought it was
there
fine.
Was plenty of times like she I was snickering was, under my breath, and she's like, "What?" I'm like, "Jelly, it's just bad." And
she thought
like,
it was pretty nice, but you know, the other guest that we watched this movie with, your mom, as well, she was here and watched it. She experienced this with us, so this made it even better, in my opinion.
My mom watching this movie.
Tell us about it.
Was a bit of a disappointment for me. I thought she was going to say and do more stupid things than she did.
I mean, she said a couple things I got, but then I think she fell asleep for part of it, so that's why she wasn't making
comments. Yeah, she definitely did.
The creatures ruined everything, says Noreen. That's one of my notes. You think it's not? Look, it's one of my notes right there.
Oh, these guys are ruining everything. Yeah, I can hear her saying that.
Tuna on whole wheat.
She did not say tuna.
She commented on the kid's snack.
She didn't comment on the snack. No, she did not. Don't. I will not take that much blasphemy. But keep it up. So, in the annals of our podcast and yeah, all the shit you've had to watch.
I was also disappointed in your mom's reactions to this movie.
Well, she halfway through, she's like, well, this sucks, and I'll stop paying attention. She had the most honest reaction to it. That's what you're supposed to do. She was the winner in the whole situation. We sat here, look at all these fucking notes I wrote about this shitty movie. She was like, I'm just going to fucking continue my cross-stitch of a dog on my iPad instead of watch this pile of crap.
What do I think of this? Is that what you were about to
yes,
ask me?
Yes, what did you think of this?
Oh, man. It was not pretty nice.
So, we've said that a lot. Even last week, we talked about it. The impetus of that is in the Mystery Science Theater. Oh, in the actual movie, when they're first getting into town, because they've driven from Texas?
I don't know.
I don't think they say. The script. This is an all-time crap script.
They've
in terms
driven
of
from somewhere.
Like
they
there
drove.
Is so much in this movie that is said that like you're made to believe like we've heard it before.
We didn't.
This isn't Minnesota. Like when he first says Mac, his brother's like, "What?" And he's like, "Mysterious alien creatures." Like you can't just throw that out. Like everyone knows what it is
right,
now.
Right.
As just one example. That's a
oh,
big one.
Oh, but everyone knows ET is extraterrestrial. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, it's built up and said, and then it's expounded upon. But anyway. When they're coming into town, Eric, like, looks out the back window and he says that something's pretty nice. His mom goes, yeah, pretty nice. And I think they said one other time.
No,
in that
it's
close,
not.
It's just the two times
just
in that one little
two
scene.
Times.
And in Mystery Science Theater, they pick up on it like they do with certain, like, annoying or repetitious or just, like, ridiculous lines. And they call it back several times throughout the movie. So that became pretty popular with the MST3K heads online and in conversation. So Rich and Johnny started doing it as pretty much as soon as it had kind of come out. And this was at the peak. It was peaking when Rich came down here to visit in 2021 and got Jillian into doing it.
It was pretty
like,
nice.
Like, absolute
and we have a video of her
craziness.
Doing it. It's pretty nice.
And so we would keep doing it, and you thought it was, like, throughout the movie.
I thought that's what the thing was. I thought that's
you thought this
the
little
alien
thing
said.
Kept saying it? Nope.
I thought the alien spoke, and nope. That's what he said. And nope. That's why they did it. Mm-mm. Well.
Nope. Total throwaway line.
Cool as me.
Total throwaway line that somehow is still the best part of the movie.
I said, that was it?
Yeah, that was it. Yeah, it's not pretty nice. This movie
is a pile of garbage. Absurd pile of trash.
Like, did you read any of the background on the movie?
I tried not to.
So, I love
what
reading.
What is this? Well, I don't even know what my notes are.
I what love reading this? The history of this movie. This movie didn't come out until 1988. So, this is 6 years after E.T. And basically, somebody had worked with advertising with McDonald's, and, like, they were trying to figure out how to, like, bolster their branding. And they're like, well, Ronald McDonald is just as recognizable as Santa Claus. But E.T. is, like, right there. And, like, it's been 6 years since E.T., so if we have a new E.T., and, like, we can promote it with McDonald's, like, let's fucking go. And they basically just went with that mindset and didn't come up with anything else. So the director they brought in, who had made, like, family movies, just got brought in, and there he's like, all right, well, yeah, I'll do it. Where's the script? They're like, oh, you're going to have to write the script. You have, like, 3 weeks. He's like, wait, what? He had to write the movie, like, as they were filming it. And then this is the only time the McDonald's...
Well, you can kind of tell.
And they, like, specifically wanted a handicapped actor, so he actually has spina bifida is what he has.
Okay.
Oh, no, because I think, like, mom and ass, or you would ask, like, what's even is fucking wrong with him? I'm like, no, he's literally handicapped. It's not like they just...
Well, they didn't say, like,
They
didn't give us the background of it.
Which I can kind of appreciate.
In the movie.
So, like, this movie is so bad because, like, they didn't have anything. They had literally just McDonald's being like, make a movie. Go. That's what it turned into. The aliens themselves.
Look, man. Okay. We're going.
Are the ugliest, weirdest looking things. E.T.'s not Fabio.
No, but these aliens are on another level of, like, they've just got, their eyes are way too big, and also, they're way too far apart, and their heads are so small. E.T.'s at least proportionate.
No!
Yeah!
No, E.T.'s got the big-ass fucking thing, a long, skinny-ass neck, and...
And then a big butt! It's like
the difference is, there's one E.T. You got four of these fucking things in this movie.
Well, yeah, but...
Two of which are obviously just adult. Well, they're all adult. Well, they're all humans in just outfits. Except when, like, the thing's driving a car and it's obviously a puppet. But when, like, they're having to walk,
they're just things
in outfits.
Oh, I thought it was just...
They made a fucking animatronic that could do that?
No, I thought that they were just doing some puppetry or some shit.
No, it's very obviously people. How do you think... What?
The stretchy arms were...
So you have four of them versus one E.T. I think that's a big difference here.
Yeah, sure. But they also, like, the stretchy arms.
Oh, you're talking about, like, what they can do.
Yeah. Well, yeah,
because E.T. never gets into, like, as much of hijinks E.T. gets into, it's like he dresses in drag.
Mostly the children that really bring E.T.
You know, he yells once, he eats his fucking candy.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Like, within 5 minutes, Mac is, like, electrocuted by a fence and stretched like Armstrong.
With that image.
And then he's hit by a car.
It's like Ren and Stimpy.
They also have, like
live action. That would be live action. That's what these aliens are. Live action Ren.
They really are.
It's live action Ren. They really are. That's what it is.
Then he ends up having sores like he's fucking hanging out with Puck from the real world. Like... No, Puck is fine. Puck was just dirty. It wasn't like he was the other guy. It's the same season. Don't they? I know my real world.
I'm sure that's what you
But mean. I think it was because, like, they weren't getting enough something. It's never explained why or how or what they do anything. They're on their planet. This, like, rover lands and is, like, doing research. And they accidentally get slooped up into the machine. And then they're in Earth. And then while they're at Earth, Mac is only sustained with Coca-Cola. But they don't have Coke on their plane, or like on their planet.
But no, but remember at the beginning, they like mined into the core of the planet. And
was the planet supposed to be made out of Coke or something?
I think so. Stuff came out. It was like oil and they were drinking it.
And like they're able to communicate by like putting their hands up in the air, which I'm guessing means love or family or something. Like none of this. Like at least like E.T. needed a phone. E.T. made him know, like, I need a phone.
To make a call. I gotta call somebody real quick.
I know exactly where to go. I know exactly where my people are. I just need a fucking phone. I'll hang out here for a minute. I'll get some candy with you guys. And then we'll fucking go. This thing
This thing fucking...
And this thing comes in, escapes in the grossest and weirdest way ever, as his family just, like... His family moves around like Cirque du Soleil performers from one stage to another.
Or like a deflated, like...
Wacky waving inflatable arm playing tube band.
But a deflated one.
And then there's... And then, like, just gets into schlocky hijinks.
Yeah. He, like, electrocutes everything.
He electrocutes everything. He ruins their house. Yeah. He makes a mess.
Fucking, he ruined the fucking...
He does have powers. He can, like, electrically, start things and confuse people.
Yeah. And then, you know, he can, you know?
And
he can just be a pester.
Yeah, he's...
Be a pest.
There's nothing to emotionally attach you.
Well, no, because he's ugly as fuck. I don't want to be
a... I said E.T. was a Tom Selleck, for crying out loud.
But there was E.T.
looks like a burnt dick.
But there's something endearing about E.T. There's just something endearing about him.
I was going to say it's the whole package around him. But, like, you figure E.T. is cute. I mean, Elliot is cute and he cares about him. E.T., like, the music. Like, Alan Silvestri, the guy who created the Back to the Future theme... Does the music for this movie.
I mean, when you look, like, he just looks.
It's the fucking eyes. It's 100% the eyes. He looks like he's fucking strung out on crack.
This is what Dobby looks like.
That's exactly.
That's Dobby the house.
It's Dobby without sympathy.
But it's Dobby, but he always has this little woo expression, like
he's like a whistle. He's a little whistle.
But look at E.T.
Yeah, E.T. Yeah, you're right. E.T. is like
just,
cool.
There's just something about E.T. It's like it just you're endeared to E.T. It's just something about it. I think it's the popping eyes.
Yeah, Mac and me. What
Mac
did I say?
Looks like he's a fucking.
I said while we were watching it, he looked like what? I said a bunch of them. I might have written down in my notes. I don't know, but yeah, like, I think in the Mystery Science Theater they say, I would love to know the movie that this composer thought he was making this piece of music for. Because, like, it is a good fucking score. Like, it does kind of, like, sure. Like, you know, fit with, like, what they're going for in the movie. But it doesn't fit what actually happens in the movie.
Nominate it at the end of the
movie. Oh, no, absolutely not. But, like, like I said, it's just, like, hijinks for the sake of hijinks. The worst puppet and costumes you've ever seen in your fucking life.
Worst.
And it's so blatantly a ripoff. Like, you don't fucking care about it. And this is, like, within the first 15, 20 minutes of the movie. And you're not getting any context. Like, they're moving. Why? Never said.
We don't know.
Where's the dad? No idea. There's just a picture of him.
He could be dead.
He could be under a pile of men somewhere.
But they move into California to this big-ass fucking house. And she works at fucking Sears.
She works at Sears.
I wish I grew up in the 80s because I bet I would have gotten this house for a hell of a lot
less.
You,
she specifically got an already essentially ADA compliant house because she literally takes Eric through the house and she goes, see all the low counters and all this and the space
and
stuff.
They didn't have that shit readily available in the 80s.
No, in the 80s, they're like, you have a handicap? Fucking figure it out.
That was the cost of fortune.
Yeah.
So, yeah, what does this woman do?
Also, so...
And then she's also a terrible mom.
Awful mom. Because, like, Max already starting to, like, accidentally start the TV and,
right,
be seen, take a shower, yada, yada, yada. And then, like, for some reason, overnight, he decides to redecorate. And he proceeds to
bring the outside in.
All the outside shit in. He's using a power tool to fucking... cut holes in walls, and the mom comes out and is like, immediately blames Eric, who's in a fucking wheelchair.
He's in a fucking wheelchair.
How
lady.
Could he have done
lady.
A quarter of what's been done in that
lady.
House?
Come on, lady.
You gotta blame your fully abled kid for that, who kind of seems like a bit of a douche.
He was a douche.
Not your good child.
Come on.
And then the scene happens.
Oh, and then the scene. Breathtaking views, flowers. And then those fucking brakes give out.
It is so amazing to see that scene within the context of the movie. And then
the
only reason he was outside is because his mom yelled at him and he was like upset. And he's just like looking to take a look at the breathtaking views.
See Noreen.
And like it doesn't make it any better at all.
No, it doesn't.
And like the scene, and like in context,
breaks give
is
out.
Just as bad as not context.
Susie Q or whatever her fucking name is. What's the neighbor's fucking name? The little girl?
I couldn't fucking tell you. don't ask me about character specifics. You're lucky I got Eric down and Mac. I got it. Hold on.
I'm glad that you know who Mac is.
Debbie, or was Debbie the hot sister?
No, Debbie's not the hot sister.
Courtney's the hot sister.
Yeah, Debbie's the little sister.
Debbie's little girl. Yeah, Debbie's little girl.
Debbie fucking runs out, sees it, starts yelling. Meanwhile, Eric, picking up speed, crashes into the water. What happened? He can't swim. Why? Got no legs. Or he has legs. His legs don't work.
He has legs!
They don't work. So he can't swim.
Well, I'm sure... So, I, as a fellow non-swimmer, I don't know how handicapped people are able to subvert swimming if they're paralyzed. I'm guessing there's just no options there, right?
Well, you need your arms and your legs.
Yeah, is there enough you could do? I'm thinking of the guy with one arm from Def Leppard. Like, they were able to build something for him.
Sure.
Like, is there something that, like, handicapped people could swim?
So let me tell you something. I'm not physically handicapped, so I'm not the best person to ask about this.
Yeah.
I'm also not in the realm of, you know... extremity production, so I can't tell you.
All fair points.
Either of those
all fair
things. I could just assume that they could have, but I'm also going to assume he never had swim lessons.
All fair. So yeah, he goes off a fucking cliff.
And then the first thing he says, did you see him?
See what?
Did you see him?
So Mac saves him, of course, with his motor.
And then his brother ability. And the other sister, yep. Love connection is made.
Well,
they
bring when Dr. Stillman House calls, a doctor comes and checks him out.
Yeah, doctor comes.
And then we
crazy.
Find out his sister works at McDonald's. Here's the connection. There's going to be a birthday party here.
And then the mom
she drops
works
a lame
at
ass Big Mac reference. Mm-hmm. Don't forget about the blatant Big Mac.
Her
reference.
First job in 10 years, and this is the mom's first job in 10 years that she got a house like that. Why did she move all the way out to California to work in that fucking Sears department store? It's not like she worked in the corporate office.
So here's what I'm assuming. I'm assuming that this is the late 80s. I'm assuming their dad was like the head of like General Motors or something and was gunned down in mafia inspired.
Okay.
ended up getting like a $500,000 life.
Got it. Was Eric
policy.
Also injured in this gunning down?
Ooh, no. I think it just makes it more tragic that he was handicapped this whole time.
Okay.
It's money that obviously they can move cross country, buy a house, be set there.
But like,
but she's
why?
Gonna, she's gonna need to work.
But
you know,
why?
Well, because the mom. I mean, maybe the witness
there.
Protection.
Ah,
okay. Witness protection.
That's right.
I honestly think this might be what it is.
Got it.
So yeah, so he's named back out of nowhere. They try to trap him in a fucking bat vacuum, and I was already getting ready to say it bad, so I said bad vacuum.
Bad vacuum, but also the way that they lured him to be able to suck him up with the vacuum.
Whoa,
is with straws, not something that you could eat.
Nope,
not Reese's Pieces.
Well, because he wants to use those straws to get fucking some Coke. Because Coke helps in every situation. Anytime Mac has anything go wrong to him, what do? They shove a fucking straw with Coca-Cola
then
down
you wonder
his
why,
weird gullet.
Then you wonder why Americans are dehydrated and diabetic.
Yeah. Oh, Mac's entire family, they are full-blown pricking their fingers every single fucking day. And they are so unhealthy. It's awful. So they're feeding him Coke and... they're putting the house back together, and there's like all this clunky ass dialogue around the whole situation with his mom, and like it makes you appreciate Steven Spielberg so much more. Like,
oh yeah,
like,
absolutely.
This movie makes you appreciate E.T. on a level. Like, I want to go back. Can we go back and change our score for E.T.? Because this movie is so bad.
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
this
I think
movie.
That's fair.
Like the way that every scene is handled. Makes it feel like they got on set that day and they're like, okay, what should be the scene? I'm like, well, I don't know. We've already filmed the ending of the movie, so what are we accomplishing here? Unless we film this in order. Mac at one point gets his hands on a battery-powered, like, power wheel and is chased by dogs throughout the neighborhood.
Like, yes.
There was no setup into why he was in that and how it happened.
Correct? No. We don't even know whose motorized car that was.
Nope. None at all.
It wasn't this kid's because he was in a wheelchair.
Nope.
So
it would be better if he was just in the chair just driving around.
Yeah, exactly. No. It's wild and absurd.
And then the mom finally has to go to fucking work, and Eric's been invited to tag along in this fucking birthday party, which is happening in the McDonald's. So, again, right down to E.T. in a disguise.
No, but let's talk about this birthday part.
Okay, no, we're not there yet. No, we're not there yet.
Right.
You figure E.T. has, what, two disguises in the movie, right? The first one is...
The drag.
Well, he's in drag. And then also, the disguises, he's just, like, basically faked as a stuffed animal.
Yeah.
So, like, that's not a disguise. He's just incognito. For this... Oh, they came from Chicago. They moved from Chicago. How fucking dare I? Because, obviously, any opportunity, they have to wear Chicago Bears stuff. Or I think there's a Bears poster. He also has a Chicago Bear... mascot costume.
Oh, he does. An outfit. Tell me
because
about that.
Because that's what they have to put Mac in to take him.
Fucking make it like a giant teddy bear. Like this fucking handicapped kid needs something else for the other children to make fun of him.
There's a 48-inch stuffed animal that this handicapped kid brings to a fucking birthday party. That kid won't have friends till he's 50. I don't care how sympathetic you are to his cause. If Jillian ever has a friend at a party... Show up A in a wheelchair.
Craig!
B. Shouldn't have been A. I apologize.
That could have been C.
But I continue. B. Bringing a ridiculous stuffed animal. C. Brings a stuffed animal that is tall enough to have attended the party by itself. And D. Ends up being an alien? Fucking get him out of my house. So he brings this alien in a bear costume to McDonald's. And the entire McDonald's birthday party. Will 1,000% be a nominee as worst scene of the year at the end of the at the end of 2024?
Tell me about this birthday party.
So, this party, like you talked about before, starts before you even get inside because there are
how's it do that?
80s PG hip hop dancers with boomboxes and bright colors dancing all up in the parking lot as soon as you roll up into that bitch. Those dances are continuing inside with, I believe it was the football team?
Sure.
Or other cheerleaders?
Sure.
It's hard. Like, there is just choreographed dancing everywhere.
Everybody knew what
Ronald McDonald is on one, just going from fucking table to table, doing like balloon animals and all kinds of fucking tricks and shit. You cannot fucking bat an eye without seeing the McDonald's logo or the Coke logo or something happening in this party. The continuity is all over the place. At one point, Ronald McDonald, like, moves to a table and drinks are not being knocked over like crazy, but there's no spills because it's obvious the cups have no liquid inside
yeah,
of
yeah,
them.
Yeah.
Drinks are getting knocked over, and they're just picking them up and putting them back on the table
absolutely.
As if it's just something that normally happens.
Absolutely.
Dancing will not stop. There's constant dancing, constant product placement.
Most crowded McDonald's I've ever seen in my whole freaking life.
Like, whose party is this? Like when
people were there, not even for the party. They're just there. It's the busiest McDonald's ever.
Can I just get a filet of fish, or do I have to go to this birthday party? I just need to go. Excuse me, linebacker of the football team. I need to leave.
And everybody had to participate in the choreographed dancing.
And then the story ramps up out of nowhere.
The stretch to get that coat.
When the movie starts. And the spaceship comes back, and it's unveiled that, you know, the aliens are here. They just let them walk out, basically. They don't, like, chase after them and try to keep them there. There is nothing besides, I think, just a vehicle with two guys outside of their house pretty soon before this scene, just saying, like, yeah, they got him. There's nothing from any point in between those two moments that indicates that anything has happened in terms of researching, finding, figuring out that this family has this creature.
Mm-hmm.
And it just starts happening. And then, these two FBI, CIA, is it ever really clearly said, like, what branch of the government they are with that are trying to, obtain Mac? It's not said, right?
I don't remember. Okay. I don't think so.
They are now at this party, and of course there's hijinks there, of them, like, trying to get around fucking... you know, the crimpers and robots and everything else happening.
Into the streets.
And, like, they're trying to, like, gather Mac and me, mind you. Oh, sorry, just Mac. They don't care about a little kid in a wheelchair. They don't need him for anything. He's worthless. Unless they're doing a test on how quickly wheels fall off of a fucking cliff. But, like, they know he's in that outfit. Mind you, this creature is in front of, as we have established, several dozen people at this McDonald's without suspicion being alerted, because now he is dancing and joining in the revelry and fun as well.
And everyone thinks he's a fucking toy.
Yes.
This is the 80s, people!
Yeah. We had Teddy Ruxpin. We went from Teddy Ruxpin to that quickly? I don't think so. But they're there, and they know that he's there, and Eric and his brother and Debbie and Debbie's sister, they all know that they're here, so they're like, don't take him, you can't take him. We have not escalated to this point at any moment until right now.
Yeah.
Everything happens within the span of 5 minutes, and then we go right into a full-blown chase.
Into the street.
Which you're just waiting at some point for, okay, well, okay, he's going to lift the chair up, right? Like, he's going to, like, make the chair fly, but no, we won't copy E.T. there. We're just going to have Eric basically turn out to be, like, able to beat Lance Armstrong in the Tour de France on his wheelchair throughout fucking California in a mall. There's a big-ass chase throughout, of course, his mom's Sears department store. And at that moment, I'm like, God, this is a unmitigated pile of shit.
And then the rescue.
This is so fucking bad. Oh, this is what I wrote. You know what? We never got an answer to why he's in the chair or what happened to his dad. Took me that long to realize it. And then we complete the holy trinity of product placement, because instead of Reese's Pieces, they're Skittles.
Yeah.
They get Skittles instead.
They do.
And Coke continues to help, because, of course,
they find the family.
In just, like, in a cave, right?
Creepy abandoned mine of some... I don't know. There were horses and windmills around. And I'm not sure why. I'm not sure why there were horses and windmills.
Oh, my God.
And where you can find those things in California, because I've never been there. Also, another thing to note, Chris, I don't live in California.
I'm aware.
I've never been there. Just so I don't know why there were horses and windmills in this mine.
I don't know either. I'm sorry.
But yeah, they found the family, but they were maybe dead.
Because, like, whatever they needed, they haven't been able to get.
But they were alive.
Coke, and then they're fine.
Yeah, they were drinking the Coke. They came back to life.
And then they get into this car together.
It was the weirdest scene.
How old is his brother supposed to be?
It was the weirdest scene I've ever seen.
He's in, like, college or, like, a senior in high school?
I think he's, like, 17.
And that's how old, what's her tits is?
Yeah. Yeah, what's her tits is 17.
I heard of my list, by the way. For a 1988 McDonald's fast food worker, she was all right. Just add the older sister for Mac and me. It'll
this
be funny.
Girl.
Well, not now. Look at her now. No, but, you know, back then, she don't look at anything else. She hasn't been in much else. the hell it would be in that car with those four aliens driving, just trying to avoid suspicion from the authorities and their family. I cannot imagine. But at a certain point, they gotta get refreshments. They gotta get drinks, and they probably gotta get gas. And of course, these dumb fucking aliens can't just fucking chill. They wander into this supermarket and fuck shit up. And of course, the authorities get alerted, and shit hits the fan. And then, like, once guns are involved, like, once one of the aliens has a gun,
it escalated so.
It's like the third time it escalates that far. Like, this movie is thankfully 99 minutes.
The dad grabbed a watermelon, and then there was a gun, and then there was some shooting.
If you were putting in order what the dad holds, it goes from watermelon to gun within a minute.
It was bizarre. And then Michael, who is the older brother, I feel like, especially in that scene, it really showed I felt like he was much more invested
than
Eric. And I don't know if it was a character thing or an acting thing.
I think it was both. I think it's that he's a better actor, because that guy has been in other things. He was one of the brothers in Steel Magnolias. He's probably going to end up being my MVP, because at least, like,
I mean, he was invested. Like, you felt tried, it.
Whereas Eric was like, leave him alone.
And then Eric was caught in the crossfire.
No. Hold on. Don't. I'm handling this part of the podcast.
I'm so sorry. They were just sauntering around.
They are walking like they have shit matted inside of their buttholes.
Yeah, because they were just sauntering.
They're sauntering around with a gun in their hand. Mm-hmm. And, of course, a shootout breaks out. And Eric thinks if he can talk to them, he's going to solve the situation. So Eric wheels his little ass out there.
And then
gets fucking shot.
Blown to bits.
No, you blown to bits.
I would have much preferred that
they
version.
They don't show it.
They should have showed it.
I'm going to show you right now the actual
Shut
footage.
The fuck up, you have it?
Yes, it hit online many, many moons ago. In the international version of this,
they show
Eric get shot in the midst of this. I'm going to play it right now so you can watch it happen. Because they make it unclear. Because, like, the shootout happens, Eric wheels out, and then, like, they're by some store, and the store explodes. Like, there's a big explosion.
Yeah.
So, like, it's like, did Eric get, like, hit by shrapnel or something? What's happening here? No, this is what happens.
I need my glasses.
I ignore the Japanese subtitles.
Oh, okay.
Shot in the fucking chest!
Wait, by the alien! By the alien!
Boom!
The alien shot him!
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and then, yeah, because of the gunfire, they blow up this, like, other mall over here or something. Yeah, but he gets shot fucking in the chest, and they cut it out. Because they're like, yo, what are we making here?
Oh, and that was just the end.
No, I think they did some artistic liberties there and made it the end. So they fucking kill. They shoot the kid in the wheelchair. Yes, it does look like in that clip that the alien turns around and just shoots him.
Yeah, the alien's
blank.
The one who shoots him.
I had something else. I got to watch this again because I had something I was going to mention. I forget what it was. Oh, no. My two favorite lines of... The Mystery Science Theater, besides Pretty Nice, are in the chase scene earlier. One of the guys, like, chasing after Mac, like, has a particularly, like, calamitous fall. And he goes, oh, tell my wife I died chasing a kid in a wheelchair through a Sears. It's very funny. That's how I want to go.
No, you're going to drown in the 3-foot...
Lake?
Lazy Moon.
There's not going to be a Mac there to
save
me.
Lazy River at a Lego Lake.
Oh, no, I'm talking about the lake that Eric falls in.
No, you're going to die at the 3-foot Lazy River at Lego Land.
And the other line is, after, like, Eric gets shot, like, they're, like, trying to, like, save him, and they're like, nah, he's gone. Like, the cops, like, leave them be, and he's like, all right, if anybody asked, if anyone asked, the alien shot first, and the kid wasn't in a chair or something. It's just very, very, very funny. Cops are bad at their job. But, of course, in this moment, Mac and family have, like, magic regenerative powers.
It's some fucking light as a feather, stiff as a board, electricity, weird junk, and then he's alive again.
Yes, he's alive, fine.
But he's...
My teeth, what?
But he's still in the wheelchair?
Still in the chair! My mom... Said's like,
your
oh, what are...
Mom.
Mom's like, I wonder if he's not going to be handicapped anymore. And I'm like, oh, mother, he's handicapped in real life. So there's no way around this. And yep, sure enough, and here's the thing.
Well,
I feel like...
They should have made him not handicapped.
Didn't you say that? I don't remember that.
They should have made him not handicapped.
I think the movie realized that there was a chance that people had that expectation. Because you don't see Eric again... Until, like, the citizenship thing.
Don't jump ahead.
I have to give it context. And, like, it pans over and he's still there. And everyone's like, oh, he's still handicapped. That sucks. I'm assuming that if they had those powers, they already would have, like, done anyway. But again, it's not addressed. There's never a scene in this movie where, like, a character talks to another character and you get... like necessary character details to emotionally connect with them. You're supposed to just emotionally connect with them on the surface.
There's no,
because he's in a chair.
I know how a lot of times we complain about the exposition in movies.
It's really needed here.
There is no exposition in this movie, and this movie could use it.
The closest we get to any kind of moment is for whatever random ass reason. We see him unpacking a picture of his dad, and it's not like his brother comes in and goes, "Yeah, I miss him too." Nobody indicates that they miss this man. He just looks at a picture of him. And then Mac uses that later to fucking electro jerk off or something and try to find his family with his hands outside. At some point, him and his mom go for a run together. But he goes for a wheel. She runs.
Yeah.
And it, like, there's this really awful Bobby Caldwell song that's playing at the same time. And it's like, is this just something they do with one another?
Yeah.
Or is this how they're breaking in California? What is happening here?
That's what they do.
That's the closest you get, but they don't say anything. You just listen to Bobby Caldwell.
Yeah.
Which, again, it's fine. Based on everything else that happens in the movie, it's not my favorite song of his, but still. So he doesn't use his legs still. They bring him back to life, but he's still handicapped. I'm continuing to chuckle as we watch this. Jillian says, what? To be a kid again. Because if I'd seen this as a kid, I would fucking love this movie. And
absolutely.
This, it would be one of these movies that we'd watch for the podcast and be like, oh man, this sucks. Yeah. That's a shame.
Yeah. But then let's go on to the next scene.
Oh, please, go ahead. I'll let you handle this part.
Then all of a sudden, you cut to some legal proceeding. And well, I'm like, oh
sudden,
shit.
You cut to the same two guys that were like the figureheads of the chase, like these government guys. They're like running and they're obviously late for something. They go up all these steps. Like, what's happening now?
Yeah.
What could be happening?
Oh my gosh.
Room full of aliens. And, regular aliens
but
and extraterrestrial aliens.
The alien. Mac. And his family are all dressed up.
They are in suits.
The one bitch had earrings on.
They look so much more horrific, not naked.
Terrifying.
Like,
I'd much rather.
If you're listening to this and you have no context of what we're talking about, I want you to just go pull up your computer, go to Google or your phone, and just look up Mac and Me family. And hopefully you don't just get a kid in a wheelchair and his other white-ass family members. You just go, and you find the whole family and what they look like. And you're going to see two different clips of them. One of them, butt-ass naked, holding a watermelon, or just in the shadows. And you're like, ew! You're also going to see them standing there with fucking spinal stenosis, apparently, because they can't stand fucking straight in fucking seersucker suits. Am I allowed to say that? Is that a bad thing? I don't even know.
No, that's a thing.
Okay. And you're going to say, I prefer him naked. Because them with fucking human clothes on just doesn't work. It's awful. It's bad. Yeah, she's got earrings. That's a little ass dress. He's wearing like, what is he? Oh, he's wearing a McKids t-shirt. He fucking is wearing a propaganda from Ronald. And they got their hands raised. How
because
much passion to
swearing. And you know how long it takes it? This was obviously before 9/11. You know how long it takes?
Yes.
Now
Samantha, I hate to tell you, this is the biggest product of pre-9/11 war I've ever seen in my entire life. This whole thing from beginning to end.
But I thought that there was like actual laws around like becoming a citizen, and like part of it is like you have to live here for a certain length of time.
This isn't the platform, babe. I hate to tell you this. Fucking I don't think they did the research.
John Oliver, do a bit.
Do a bit on it. That was the next day.
It was the next day.
You know how many hundreds of thousands of dollars of damage they did?
Kissing, lovey-dovey with these aliens.
Oh, but that alien's going to be in jail for just shooting a gun in general. I don't know what California's laws are. I know they're a pretty liberal place, but good Lord. Yes, they are citizens of the United States now.
And then
it looks like Eric's brother and the daughter are now together, possibly, because
sure.
They're kissing and holding each other more than he is with the McDonald's girl.
Yeah.
And then they leave.
And then no,
in their clothes.
In their clothes. And dude, I mean, I guess the father's been busy. Father Alien has been busy. He got his driver's license.
He did. He must have a job because he now owns a pink Cadillac.
Pink Cadillac.
And his hair is not even slicked back, and he may be coming down soon.
One of the reasons why I said that the mother was a terrible mother at the beginning of this podcast.
The human mother or the alien mother?
Both. But, yes, but the human mother.
Yes.
It's because this movie ends with Mac and his family.
Yeah.
And they're in the pink Cadillac and they're driving away. Yes. Oh, but who's in the car with them?
Eric.
Eric's in the car with them.
I have no idea where the chair is.
I think Debbie's with them too, right?
No, I don't believe so.
It's just Eric?
I think it's just Eric and the alien family.
Eric and the alien family. She just let him go. I don't even think that they can communicate because the aliens don't speak. And but she's just like, yeah, take my son and go. My handicapped son. What more can happen? What more can happen to him? And they're just driving away into the sunset. Max got an affinity for bubblegum now.
She blows a bubble.
Blows a big popped, bubble.
And it says, we'll be back. And they will not be.
Absurd.
It is.
This movie is
so bad.
Absurd.
It's a movie that's so bad, it does cross into it's good.
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't.
Because, like.
It doesn't. You're wrong.
I mean, it's not going to help with the score at all.
No.
Let me talk.
Stop. You just said this movie was so bad it was good.
Well, because like
no,
I love no. bad movies. So if
you love this, okay.
No,
I'm gonna tell Jillian that we'll watch it again.
I mean, I'd love for her to watch the Mystery Science Theater version of it. I'll watch that all day because it's one of my favorite movies I've ever seen.
No,
just look at the DVD. Look at the stupid little fucking kid. And why is there a butterfly on this bubble? Like, even the DVD picture doesn't make any sense. I love that they have the explosion on here in the back as well. It's preposterous. It is everything to do wrong with the movie. You know. I'm just going to read some quotes here. I mean, this movie basically was the impetus for Disney and McDonald's to start their exclusive arrangement. Because of, you know, they're like, all right, well, we can get this done. But look what they did. You know, like, we can obviously be a beneficial relationship with one another.
Yeah.
You know, the director still insists, like, look, there's never been anybody else in the history of the world that ever got, like, an exclusive deal with McDonald's to use their branding in a movie like this. Like, you've never seen, you know.
Not like that.
Not like this ever. For good reason, obviously. But it is an accomplishment in a certain way. It's ridiculous. Of course, a sequel was canceled. The producer spoke in 2017 and did not rule out a sequel.
Okay, well.
But his home video sales did make the movie a profit for Orion Pictures. But in 2017, Orion Pictures had been dead for about 20 years. So that's, you know, that is going to stand for something as well. If they were to remake this or just, like, pick up from here on this, man, I would be like a pig in shit. I'd be their opening night. I mean, we have a Mac and Me poster in our loft.
Neil Breen needs to take this on. Neil Breen needs to be Mac and Z. And he needs to play Z, who can communicate with Mac. And uncover all the hackers.
Damon Lindelof has said this is the worst movie ever made. Which is just great. I love that fact. We have to give MVP and LVP. And I think we figured out MVP as we were going. It's his brother, right?
Yeah, it's the brother. I think the brother was...
It's Michael. Jonathan Ward is the actor.
Yeah, enthusiastic in the right places. Yeah.
Yeah, he's a solid guy. He doesn't do anything, like, egregiously bad. I originally had the mom, like, because I don't think she does anything bad either. I think she's a good mom actress. I just think she's a bad mom in the movie. Like, an actual mom. Also, the older sister, because, like I said, she's, you know, she was all right to look at. I think LVP is also easy as well. It's Eric, right?
Like, he's terrible.
Like, it's sad. You know, sure. You know, tough breaks. He should have had some. But he also... He also cannot act to save his life.
He can't act. Look, it's a little, I don't care if you're in a wheelchair.
It's a little thing in the chair, a little thing in the grass. Or like, he's...
Look, I don't care if you're in a wheelchair awful. Or not. I don't care if you've got, you know, a disability. Like, I don't... That doesn't come into my equation when I'm judging you on your acting, right? Yeah. Like, I'll judge you...
This is the job you got.
Things, right. This is the job you got. You gotta do the job. If you were in that condition and you became a chef, you'd have to make it work and make some delicious food. It's the same kind of concept. This guy just was in the wrong field.
This boy's name is Jade?
Yeah. Jade Category.
Jade Caligory.
Category.
It's with an L. Caligory.
Yeah.
What's Jade Caligory, the doing LVP now? Of Mac and Me. Jonathan Ward, the MVP of Mac and Me.
See? Dude's an artist and a photographer right now.
Who? Jade or...
Jade, yeah.
Good, yeah. Two easy things he can do. Anything else on Mac and Me?
Do I have to?
No, you don't have to.
Yeah.
Ooh, soundtrack no. available on Curb Records.
Oh, God. No, I don't have anything else.
Also, so I do want to point out, so the director of this movie, Stuart Rayfield, he did not stop with his assault on films.
No way.
He went on to direct Mannequin 2 on the Move. I thought there was something else that was funny. Oh, Tammy and the T-Rex, which is a notable bad science fiction comedy from the mid-90s with Paul Walker and Denise Richards. But it's also like a horror movie. That's pretty notorious. There was something else I thought. Oh, damn it. I don't know what it was. Anyway, sorry.
Oh, man. He's done a lot of like TV shows.
Maybe that's why I was thinking.
He did this TV show called 18 Wheels of Justice.
I do see that, yes. Yeah, I love this. I'm unabashed at how much I love how bad... This is everything I want in a bad movie. Look at the trailer. Like... In the poster. He looks like an artistic Pat Morita. Look at that. Like, in the poster, it doesn't look bad. Besides, look at Eric's dumb, agape mouth just staring off into space. Eric's new in the neighborhood. Mac's new on the planet. God. I nominated it. You score it first.
It's a one. You're going to give it a higher score, and then everyone is going to know that all the shit that you've been talking... The last, how long have we been doing this show? 10 years? Have we been doing this show for 10 years? 11 years?
It's about to be
12
10 years.
12 years?
Yes. About to be 10 years.
17 years that we've been together has been complete and utter bullshit. You claim that you're this credible...
No.
No, you claim that you are this credible...
I am.
...critic...
I am.
...about movies and that... Movies that are not deserving of scores don't get them.
And yet,
you are going to give this movie a score.
I'm going to give this movie a 1.5.
Far too generous.
It's not, because
similar
I, at this
to
point,
what you did with Ford Fairlane.
No, I gave Ford Fairlane a much higher score. Ones are reserved for ones to me are reserved for things that barely constitute a movie. Like,
yeah,
one
like this.
Like, this still has a beginning and an end. This has decent
so
music.
So does My Foot. Like, what? My Foot is not a movie. Like, what the fuck is that? What argument is that? What?
Oh, my God. Like, it has decent music, it has a couple okay performances, and it brings happiness one way or another to anybody that watches it.
Your mom was not thrilled.
To normal people who watch it. So, like, I can't give it a 1, but everything else, it is an absolute unmitigated failure, disaster, shit show. So, yeah, it's a 1.5 to me. So, a 1.25 for Mac and Me. Is absolutely the
Can't
correct
score. Can't
wait
for it to be overrated at the end of the
It's not going to be, no, because trust me. At this rate, how little movies we've watched and how good of what we've been watching have been, I'm going to have to just keep nominating shit in order for us to have content. Unless whatever you're going to nominate is just as bad right now.
Oh, no.
So, yeah. So
I forgot.
1.25. Next week, we will unveil our winners for the 2023 Mullet Awards. Then we will start tackling the Jackass franchise, Jackass 1 through 3. Then Bad Grandpa and Jackass Forever. Then we'll finally get to Top Gun and Top Gun Maverick. I apologize. We are so backlogged. I don't even know why. Well, because Mac and Me was shorter. Inside Mad we watched a bunch of times.
Well, yeah,
Jackass movies are really quick and short.
And we didn't want to watch some of this stuff.
I didn't watch Top Gun with my mom.
Yeah.
And I also love Top Gun Maverick, but I haven't seen the original Top Gun. I couldn't even tell you how long. Actually, I could. I watched it on middle school trip. So it's been over 20 years since I've watched fucking Top Gun. So, want to give it its fair shake, want to give it its time. Then we got Some Like It Hot coming out. We got The Fast and the Furious. So, Samantha, whatever you're picking here, we're not going to really watch until probably the end of April, beginning of May.
Oh,
so,
gosh, okay.
So, give it to me what your two nominations are.
Oh boy. Okay, I'm going to go with, I guess that's right around, like, Mother's Day time. I'm going to go with a couple movies that I think we're still gonna watch with Jillian.
Okay.
Probably so, and some that you've seen, some that you may have only seen parts of.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to nominate Lyle Lyle Crocodile.
Great.
Because we own that one, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I'm looking.
Yep, we do.
Yeah. Okay. Great. And along with that, I'm going to have to nominate something else that we own. That I think Jillian's also a fan of and has seen, and that we only own one of, Paw Patrol the movie?
No, we own them both now.
Oh, we do own them both? So the list hasn't been...
It's there.
I haven't fixed the alphabetical order. Yep, you haven't fixed it for over a year now.
That's your own dumbass fault.
Oh, no, that's a terrible thing. And I'm going to nominate with it. We're going to go with something that's great.
Say a movie.
I don't know.
Just say a fucking movie.
B movie.
God damn it. Oh, God. I've been avoiding that movie. Like, she watched it a lot recently.
I know.
And then I walk in the room like, nope, going to go to something else. Oh, and I feel like that music all the time. Oh, my God, this is torture.
This is payback.
B movie!
You're picking B movie?
Yes, because at the very least, I haven't seen. I'm trying to watch things I haven't seen.
Oh my gosh.
I probably should have picked something I know I already don't like. So I'll have another one to fucking suffer through. Yeah, so get ready for B movie in May. God damn it. It'll be like the 25th anniversary of Seinfeld ending. I don't know. No, that was last year. I don't know. Oh, man. I was on such a high. Now you ruined me with B-movie and Lyle Lyle Crocodile.
Seriously,
good.
Right.
We're watching Jackass 3D sometime this week, so that's fine.
Yeah, and you made me do all the Jackass movies.
You've been enjoying them, spoiler alert.
No, not all of them.
Well, not all the pieces of them, but... You know, it's mostly smooth sailing from here. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Married Movies. We encourage you, as always, go to arcadeideas.net for this podcast and the others on our network of shows. Rate, review, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure you're going to patreon.com/arcadeideo for bonus content. If you're getting this right before the Monday morning hour, arcadeideo.net/themullets. Get your last-minute votes in for the Mullet Awards. Results will be next week. Facebook.com/MarriedWithMovies, @MarriedWMovies on Twitter, MarriedWithMovies@gmail.com. That's what you think of the show. For me, @YourHostMo38 on Instagram. For you,
@JamWithYourSam.
We don't put stuff on there a lot, but when we do, it's pretty nice. And yeah, we'll be back next week with some winners for you in a quick little episode. Anything else?
No. Perfect. For Mullet.
It's Mullet.
Signing out for this week's episode of Married with Movies. We'll catch you next time on our couch.
/ the movies. I just realized I had to drink a fucking Coke during this episode. It works. Never mind. I'm giving it a 2. No, it's already down. I can't change it. I could go for some fucking McDonald's and some Skittles right now.
Absolutely, yeah.
It works.
It does.
Geniuses.
They are.
They're not.
Thank you for playing Arcade Audio. Play more at arcadeaudio.net.